Hi everybody, we are going to be starting a new book today in our morning devotions, and we'll be reading through the book of Mark. And so this will pretty much carry us through the whole semester just because we're going to be taking it little chunks at a time, but we'll be reading through the Gospel of Mark. And so today's passage is Mark chapter 1 from verse 1 through verse 8. So let me read this for us here. Beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way? The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the book of Mark is a really interesting book. If you've read this before, you know that this is the writing style is just very straightforward. Right from the start, Mark introduces his gospel account in a very matter-of-fact kind of way. He just says, the beginning of the gospel, or the good news, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He makes it very clear why he's writing this book and what it's all about. There's no build-up or suspense. There is no making the reader guess at anything. It's just, boom, right there. This is what it is. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, given that those are the very first words of the book, it's really interesting to me that the very first thing that Mark actually spends significant time on is not Jesus, the Son of God, but a prophecy from Isaiah, and then an eccentric man hanging out in the wilderness known to us as John. To those of us who are familiar with the Gospels, we know that this John is known as John the Baptist. And like many other biblical figures, those of us who, again, who are familiar with this, maybe grew up, we might see John with a little bit of wonder. Maybe you grew up in Sunday school, and so you saw the illustrations of John the Baptist. Maybe you were in a play or something, and you heard the stories, and so you have a certain image of this holy man. Like, I remember growing up and just thinking like, oh, he was this man, you know, kind of almost put on like a pedestal of sorts. And this is John the Baptist. But think about how Mark describes him and just picture with me as I read these descriptors. So this is a man doing ministry in the wilderness, which is not where most of civilization lives. You can understand that word also just as like a desolate place. On top of that, he also wore clothes made of camel's hair, strapped a leather belt around his waist. And by the way, just in case you're not sure, those were not normal things. I think that's why Mark is pointing that out. And on top of all of that, locusts and wild honey were part of his regular diet, which again, is not a normal, regular kind of thing. So I don't know about you guys, but when I picture this, I don't see this respectable minister. I see a wild and eccentric man. And there were likely many people in that day who felt the same way about him. At the same time, when I read about John the Baptist, I'm always struck by how certain he was of his purpose and his role. John knows very clearly that his role is to prepare the way of the Lord. He goes around in the wilderness, but also in the surrounding towns, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And you know what? People are actually going out to him. They're being baptized by him. Despite his eccentric nature, he's gaining a following. And I think that it would be so easy for so many of us if we were gaining a following of some kind, if people seem to like us and follow us. I mean, even just think about like how you respond when people like a post you have, or about all the social media influencers that are out there today. You know, it's easy for us to start thinking about ourselves, like how can I continue to grow my brand, or maybe in John's case, grow my ministry, or things like that. Yeah, with all of this, John knows exactly who he is, and so he makes it very clear. He says, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You see, John is saying, "I am not the one you're waiting for." You know, we just finished off the book of Malachi last week, and in the last verses of the book, we read that Malachi talks about the sending of another Elijah before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And so John, in essence, is saying, "I am that guy. I am the second Elijah, metaphorically speaking. And yes, I want you to listen to me. I'm a prophet preparing the way, but I am not the Lord. I am not that guy. I am not the coming, the day of the Lord. I'm the guy who's here to prepare the way of the one who is soon coming. And this one who is coming is far greater than I." Right? "After me comes he who is mightier than I." In other words, if we were to summarize all of that, while John doesn't use these exact words, he's saying, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I don't want you to land and finish by just looking at me. I want you to look to Jesus. You see, Mark starts off the gospel of Jesus Christ by talking about John because John's purpose was to point to Jesus Christ. John's sole purpose was to point others to Jesus Christ. And so it makes sense that Mark is talking about John first, because John, this isn't just a side story. He's talking about basically before Jesus came, here is John, and John's purpose was to point to Jesus. And again, John knew his purpose. He was sure of it. He had a confidence in it. And so with all of this, I just want for us to meditate on this question. In what ways is your life pointing to Jesus? In what ways is your life pointing to Jesus? You know, you don't need to be eccentric in the same way as John was, or, you know, have to baptize people or stand on the street corners and proclaim and preach. But having said all that, in what ways is your life pointing to Jesus? Or to phrase that a different way, is your life about you or is it about Jesus? Are people seeing you and just seeing you, or are they seeing Jesus? I think the reality is we probably all have, including myself, more, we can all grow more in this area of pointing others to Jesus. That we often try, but it's hard for us to really be remain focused on that calling that we have received as followers of Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you all to pray. Let's just take some time to pray right now. And let's ask God, "God, I want for my focus to be about you. That my own focus is on you, Jesus, and that when others see me, that they too will be directed to Jesus. That I could be like Mark, where it's very clear what how I'm living, what my life is like. I can be like John, where my ministry, the ways that I serve, the way that I live, all points to you." So let's just pray. Let's take some time to pray in this way throughout today. But let me just close this time with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this word, Lord. And yeah, we see just right from the start of this book that the writer of the gospel, Mark, is making it clear that it's all about you. And then we see this man, John the Baptist, who his life is all about you. And so, Lord, we want to be a people who live in a similar kind of way, where our work, our studies, the way that we interact with people around us, whether it be friends, family, coworkers, strangers, that God, in all of these things, that we are pointing to you. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think we all know that we have some room to grow when it comes to this, especially maybe in certain areas of our lives. But God, we ask for your help. May we begin by looking to you first and foremost, always looking to you and desiring to be with you, Lord. So God, we thank you for this time today, for this word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.